So glad to have you here. Real blessing for the visitors and our congregation as well to be here at this time to observe one of the two ordinances given to the local church. Also, we want to thank Mrs. Harding for allowing us to use her swimming pool for a baptistry. And so, Lord's given us a beautiful day, and so we thank the Lord for all these things. I want to talk about what the New Testament says about baptism. And so there's no question about what we're involved here with today. And my text is going to be Matthew chapter 3. And I want to talk about several truths concerning baptism. And in the passage at hand, we see really the baptism of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as an example and an identification that he makes with New Testament baptism. But here we find in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and of leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." So here we find a basic account of baptism, the first baptismal activity in the New Testament. And it started with John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was the forerunner to the Messiah. And he was predicted in the scriptures by his nature and his activity in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, and also Malachi, verse 3, verse 1. And so he was predicted in scripture in the Old Testament as the forerunner to the Messiah. And of course, he comes on the scene. Now, he's called John the Baptist. John the Baptist because he's the one who initiated this divine ordinance. There was nobody before him. There was no Old Testament baptism. He was the one who initiated this. And so we find as he was involved in baptizing not only the Lord, but multitudes of others, we begin to get an idea of what New Testament baptism is all about. And so we here at Bible Baptist Church so name ourselves because we identify with the doctrine and practice that he initiated. All right, and so I believe that's very important here. But anyway, we see that John came on the scene and he demanded repentance as the initial message that he gave. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now he's offering, as well as the Lord, who is the King, he's offering his millennial kingdom. But entrance into anything that's of God comes about through repentance. Repentance means to turn from sin unto the Lord in salvation. And this is essential in salvation. This is part of conversion. Conversion deals with two conditions lost, sinful mankind must meet. Two conditions he must meet. One is to turn from sin in repentance to the Lord in faith. There's two sides of one coin, and it's called conversion. And so in order for a person to become a Christian, they need to repent of their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. No one is born a Christian. No one is saved by any types of works. But the scripture is very clear here that the repentance, this has to do with the heart turning from wicked sin. You see, we're all sinners. Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so mankind is sinful. Mankind needs a Savior. And God has provided a Savior. And he's provided a way of salvation. But this way of salvation must be obtained by God's ways. And the ways are meeting the conditions. Repenting, turning from sin, and turning to the Lord in faith. Amen. And so the candidates that we have today for baptism, there are three, have testified to the fact that they realized they were lost sinners on their way to hell, and they have repented of their sins, turned from them, and they have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ as the sole Savior for their salvation. That's called conversion, and that's the requirement for baptism. And so here we find in this passage, this is John's message. Notice it says in verse 5 that they then went out to him, Jerusalem and Judea and all the region round about Jordan. Multitudes were baptized, multitudes from these areas and cities and so on. Multitudes were baptized, and Scripture says they were baptized of him in Jordan. They were in the Jordan River. They were baptized in Jordan. This helps us understand the mode of baptism. The mode of baptism is called immersion. That's what the word baptism or baptizo means. It means immersion. There are other words that mean sprinkling, but they're never used with the Christian ordinance here. Amen. There's words for pouring in the New Testament, but they're never used for the ordinance. The only mode of biblical baptism is immersion. Immersion in the water. So here we see this verse says they were baptized of him in Jordan. And later on in the same passage, when the Lord was baptized by John, it says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. So you see, up out of the water. So in the water, up out of the water. That sprinkling doesn't picture that. Pouring doesn't picture that. I'm just saying these are false ways of so-called baptism. Baptism is immersion in water.
Amen.
Immersion
Amen.
In water. Now, as we go on here, we see that many were coming to John for baptism. Now, John was the one, we're told in John chapter 1, who was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world.
Amen.
And he was pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Faith must be in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And so that was John's message. Now, the Pharisees and Sadducees, who were religious leaders, they came to John. And John said unto them, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers. This is what he called the dead religious leaders of the day. Vipers. Snakes. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Amen. In other words, they needed to have some sort of demonstration that they've repented. Now in their case, their demonstration of repentance needed to be that they had a change of mind about the way of salvation. They were saying, we are okay spiritually because we are descendants of Abraham. Since we're in the Abrahamic lineage, we all go to heaven. And that's not the way of salvation,
Amen.
Being in some sort of a lineage. That's what they were claiming. And John was saying, no, you need to have fruits meet for repentance. In other words, you need to change your thinking from thinking you're okay spiritually because you're a descendant of Abraham to realizing you're lost sinners, you're vipers, you're on your way to hell, and you need to turn from your sin and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he demanded repentance. Notice here, confession of sins and repentance is required here. Now, later on, the Lord Jesus Christ came. The Lord Jesus Christ came to John to be baptized. And the Lord came from the area of Galilee down here to the Jordan. That's about a 60-mile walk. He walked for about 60 miles to get baptized. To the Lord Jesus, this was not some sort of a convenience, you see, but it was a commitment on his part to identify. Now, the Lord Jesus wasn't a sinner. He didn't need to repent. He wasn't saved. We understand these things. He was a son of God, but he identified with John's baptism.
Amen.
And this is the important thing. And as he identified with John's baptism, he was immersed by John in the Jordan, and the Scripture says in verse 16, when Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. So you see, the triune Godhead met at the baptism.
Amen.
We see how the triune Godhead authenticated this activity, this ordinance, as it were, and we see the Lord's approval here. Spirit of God came upon him, and with the Lord's voice here. So baptism and the Lord Jesus' baptism well pleased the Father. And it behooves us as well. If we want to please God the Father, we better submit to his ordinance. And his ordinance is believers' baptism, believers' immersion. And this is the Lord's plan for the whole world in this dispensation, mm-hmm. is that everybody in the whole world, because Christ died for all, he died for the worst of the worst. That means he died for me. Mm. He died for me, and he died for the whole world, and he wants the whole world saved, baptized, and in local churches. Now, baptism has nothing to do with one's salvation. You cannot get saved by being baptized. It's a evidence of your baptism. Of your salvation. It pictures your salvation. It's called a burial. If you look over there in Romans chapter 6, we see the meaning of this. It's called a burial. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and following, we see the Apostle Paul gives instruction here. But he says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So believers' immersion pictures the day we got saved. The day we got saved, we said, Lord, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. I deserve hell. We died to self. For the first time, we said, I am a sinner, lost on my way to hell. I need help. We trusted in the Lord, and he saved us. So we died to self, and baptism pictures that. When we died to self then, and the Lord saved us, he gave us resurrection life. So baptism pictures this. When we go down into the water, it pictures our death. What do you bury? What do you bury? You bury dead things. You see that? You bury dead things. And so the water pictures our burial to self, and we identify the Lord Jesus' death. And when we come up out of the water, it pictures resurrection life. Now, this does not, water baptism does not produce salvation. It is a picture of salvation prior to this, you see. Now, some people think, well, I was baptized as a baby. Maybe I was even immersed as a baby or sprinkled or whatever. That doesn't save anybody.
Right.
If you're depending on heaven based on baby baptism or baptismal regeneration, you're lost and on your way to hell. And you need to get saved.
Amen.
You need to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins.
Right.
If you think somehow baptism saves you, you are absolutely wrong, and you're on the wrong track. And you better get things right with the Lord immediately. So baptism does not save, but it is a picture of that. And so we who have been saved follow through with the with baptism, and this pictures our conversion. It pictures what happened at salvation. And then one other point, and that is baptism adds one to the local church. If you look there in Acts chapter 2, and verses 41 and following, notice the scripture here says, Acts chapter 2, as Peter was preaching on Pentecost to thousands, and the scripture says, then they that gladly received his word, that would be those who got converted, those who got saved, that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 people were added unto. Added unto whom? Added unto the 120 meeting in the upper room in Acts chapter 1.
Right.
So we have a congregation of 120 now, all of a sudden expands to 3,000. Those are the kind of Sundays we like. But here we see added to them. So baptism adds one to the local church. It identifies with the Lord. The Lord's public manifestation in this dispensation is his local church, which the Bible calls his body, the body of Christ. And so they were added unto them 3,000, and the scripture says they continued steadfastly in the apostle doctrine, the fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. And then verse 47 states that praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. the Lord adds through the instrumentality of water baptism to the local church. He's the one who places people into the local church, into Christ's body here. And so these three that are going to be baptized today are those who have a profession of faith. They have stated that they repented of sin, trusted the Lord, and that they now want to be added to this assembly, Bible Baptist Church. Amen. And the Lord has authenticated this. He's authorized this. This is His plan. And so when these individuals are baptized, they're going to be baptized into our church, into our church membership. It means that the Lord has set them in, 1 Corinthians 12:18. He sets members into His body. He's the one who does this. Hmm. These individuals came to me without any coercion on my part and said, we believe, or I believe, I need to be baptized and become a member of this church. And so this is how the Lord works. He works in hearts. These are hearts who've demonstrated repentance, faith in the Lord, and a desire to be obedient to the Lord's will. And the Lord's will then is for all believers to be baptized and join local churches. And so we don't practice any baby baptism here. We don't practice anything like that. We don't believe that regeneration occurs in these waters. So we want to make that clear.
Right.
We do practice child baptism. When a child is old enough to believe, repent and believe, we will baptize them.
Amen.
And so Scripture is very clear on these truths. And so I want everyone here to be clear as well what's going on. We're thankful for everyone here, our assembly, and guests and so on. If any of you have a question about any of this afterwards, we'd be glad to speak with you. But this is the Lord's will, and we're thankful that we have the privilege of being involved in the Lord's ordinance here in one of the Lord's assemblies.
Amen.
And so we praise the Lord for that. Now this time, myself and the three candidates will go get dressed, and then we'll come back out to the pool area. In the meantime, Brother Daryl will lead in some songs. It'll take us a couple minutes to get all dressed and so on. And then we'll have the service out there. If you want to take pictures, that's fine with me. And we'll be down here at the shallow end, and trust that this will be a blessing to you. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll have song, and the rest of us will get dressed here. Our Father, we thank You for the time we've had now. We pray that You'll use the Scriptures here to speak to hearts. Pray that anyone who's trusting in baby baptism or baptismal regeneration will be convicted and even saved today, we pray. And any that have never trusted Christ will be saved. I pray that You'll bless all of us and help this to be a time of great blessing as we carry out Your divinely approved and authenticated ordinance of baptism. Bless us now, we ask, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.